Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Wow, the Holy Spirit is so wonderful. He's so good. And I love that we do this every year. I love that this is something that is so important to us this day, Pentecost Sunday. And you know what? All over the world today, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians celebrate this significant event. In fact, I would dare say that this is the most significant event in Christian history after the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The day when the Holy Spirit was poured out over believers that were praying in an upper room in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. We celebrate this day because of its immense significance. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost changed everything. It changed everything, not just for the disciples on that day, but for every believer who chooses to embrace the truth of the Holy Spirit in their lives. On the 40th day after Jesus' resurrection, and that's 10 days before Pentecost happened, on this day when Jesus ascended to the Father, before he went, he promised and prophesied that the Holy Spirit would come. And we read about this in Acts 1, verse 4 through to verse 8. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when they'd come together, they asked Jesus, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth.'" Wow, I love that passage of scripture. Back when I was a kid, there were these advertisements on TV that I think now you only see them if you are staying up late past midnight and you're watching free-to-air TV. And there were these ads on TV. There were shopping ads. And on these shopping ads that used to pop up on TV when I was a kid, they had employed the most enthusiastic guy on the planet to sell you some mop or some piece of workout equipment or a slow cooker. And he would spend a good 5 to 10 minutes passionately selling you all the details of this product and how it was going to solve all your problems and how he was going to sell it to you at some crazy discounted price. And just when you thought it couldn't get any better or any cheaper or any more life-changing, and you'd be deciding whether or not to pick up the phone and place your order, then he would do something to make the idea of purchasing this product even more irresistible. He would throw in a set of steak knives and he would say to you, "But wait, there's more." And I want to say to you today that day of Pentecost, on that scripture in Acts 1, verse 4 was Jesus, "But wait, there's more" moment. This was a "but wait, there's more" moment. You see, over 50 days prior to Pentecost Sunday, Jesus Christ had sacrificed his life for humanity. And after living a sinless life, he was arrested, he was brutally tortured and crucified on a Roman cross. And after he died, his body was laid in a tomb. And 3 days later, the people who loved him found that tomb empty because his body had been raised to life. And then he spent this time with the disciples and he was seen by them and over 500 people over the next 40 days. And on the 40th day, the day he made that promise that he was going to send the Holy Spirit, he ascended to heaven. The sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ was what we needed, yes, to be made right with our Heavenly Father. It's what we needed to overcome the separation that sin had created between us and our God. And Jesus did it. He paid the price, he gave his life, and he set us free. Come on, if you're grateful for Jesus today, why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? I'm grateful for Jesus. So now we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We can receive salvation at no cost to ourselves. It was paid, it was very expensive, but Jesus paid the price. It's free and it's ours to accept. But just when you think it just can't get any better, any more life-changing, there's more. There's more freedom. There's more power. There's more strength. There's more wisdom. There's more guidance. There's more. And it's all to be found in a life that is saved by Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. And so today I want to speak to you on this thought, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We know the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a secondary experience of the Holy Spirit. The first experience takes place at your salvation, where the Holy Spirit has done a great work in you to draw you to Jesus and come into you as you receive him as Lord. Jesus talks about this or refers to it in John 14, verse 16. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. And he dwells with you and he will be in you." In this text, Jesus uses two prepositions, that's these little words, to describe the work of the Holy Spirit. He says, "The Holy Spirit will be with you and he will be in you." And if you're a born-again believer today, you've had both of these experiences. When Jesus says the Holy Spirit dwells with you, that word "with" in the Greek means to be close beside. If you were to look at this bottle next to this glass right here, we would say that the bottle is close beside. In fact, the original Greek word para, we would say the bottle is para to the glass. And this is like you and I. This is like those who are going through life not knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. He is doing a work to draw us to Jesus. He's with us. And he's doing a work to draw us and bring us to Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus says the Holy Spirit will be in you, that word "in" is the Greek word "en," which means he'll be inside. He'll be within. And this is what happens when you receive Jesus as your Savior. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. Just like pouring this water into this glass, the Holy Spirit at that point of salvation comes to dwell in you. No longer is he only with you. No longer is he para to you, but he's now in you. And when he comes in you, he makes you a new creation. Isn't that beautiful? He makes you a new creation. You are made new, but you're also being made new. And he does this work in you to start to transform you from the inside out. It's why Paul says you are a temple of the Holy Spirit, because he comes to dwell in you. And when he's in you, he starts transforming you and he starts making you more like Jesus. So the Holy Spirit can be power to you. He can be in or in you. This is what Jesus mentions to us. But when we go to Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus says he uses this new preposition with the Holy Spirit. He says, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And this word upon is the Greek word epi, which means he comes upon you or over you or overflows. This is what happens at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Dwelling within me, the Holy Spirit has, you know, convicted me of sin and transforms my life. But now, at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he is upon me, he is over me, he overflows on me. Just like filling this glass of water until it overflows. He's upon me. He's upon me. No wonder Jesus and the disciples and the apostles that came after him, they referred to this as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because baptism means to be fully immersed. It means to be submerged. It means that you have the Holy Spirit now upon you and over you and overflowing from you. And you see what this reveals to us, and what this is revealed in this word in Acts and in the scripture is that these 120 people who were gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, they were all believers. They were all followers of Jesus Christ, all 120 of them. They already had the Holy Spirit in them. But then the Holy Spirit came upon them. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit that took place on that day was a subsequent and distinct experience to salvation. In the upper room, they experienced a beautiful, empowering, and life-changing encounter. The Bible says in Acts 2 that when Pentecost had fully come, that they were filled. This subsequent and distinct experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit steps you into a full measure of who he is, filling you and making you full of him. So when you get saved and the Holy Spirit is in you, he's at work filling you with the love of God, his grace, his forgiveness, and all the good things. But then as you grow in faith and you start to read your Bible more, you go, oh, wait, God wants me to fulfill the Great Commission. God wants me to do this impossible thing. He wants me to go into all the world and to preach a gospel of good news to the meek, the poor, and the afflicted. Jesus wants me to have a fully activated life. Jesus wants me to hear the voice of God, to discern with divine wisdom, to experience what the Bible reveals, signs and wonders and miracles, and to see people healed at my hands. This is what the Bible says that he has for me. That I would have testimonies and things to tell people and to point them to the reality of Jesus Christ. For you to experience that fully, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need this overflow in your life. You need the Spirit to not just be in you, but to be upon you and over you and overflowing from you. That's what we need. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why John the Baptist said this of Jesus. He said that he, in Matthew 3:11, that he will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this prophecy by John in Matthew 3 that we also find in Luke 3 was fulfilled in the book of Acts as a subsequent and distinct experience that is available to every believer. The wording Jesus uses in Acts 1 are the phrases baptized in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will come upon you with power. So now this all makes sense, right? It would be so cruel of Jesus to save us, to restore us into right relationship with him, and then give us this great commission to go into all the world and just have a heart that was repentant and saved by Jesus, but without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because without the power of the Holy Spirit, how long would we last? How effective would we be? How fruitful would that mission work out to be? Well, because we don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus made them wait in the upper room. Because in their own strength, as soon as things got tough, Peter would be denying Jesus again. Thomas would be doubting again. James and John would be arguing again about who was the greatest, because that's what they were all like before the Holy Spirit came upon them. You see, Jesus wants you baptized in the Holy Spirit, because when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're able to do things that you wouldn't ordinarily be able to do in your own strength. You're able to discern things that you wouldn't be able to discern in your own wisdom. You're able to respond to challenges in ways that you wouldn't normally be able to. You're able to find peace. You're able to find purpose. You're able to find revelation in the Word and grow in the things of God in ways that you wouldn't normally be able to because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's not because you're amazing. Those things don't happen because you're amazing, but because He is. In fact, it should not make us arrogant. It should not make us prideful or puffed up, but rather humble. Because none of it would happen without Him. None of it would happen without the Holy Spirit. It's not you, it's Him. Jesus wants you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's His heart's desire that that's what you would receive, that baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you're already baptized in the Holy Spirit, His heart for you is that you would be filled and filled and filled and filled and filled again and again and again. And that, so we know that's His heart's desire. But so often we come up against these obstacles or these hindrances to being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Those hindrances are not found in Him. Let me just set that straight right now, that those hindrances are not found in Him, but so often they're found in us. And so today I want to talk into three of those things that can sometimes stand in the way of us receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the first one is this: our sense of unworthiness. You see, as soon as you start seeking the Holy Spirit, and you desire to be baptized by Him, so often what happens is the enemy will start coming in and poking at your conscience and giving you all the reasons why you should not receive Him. Satan's good at finding all the things wrong in my life. I don't know about you, but he's pretty good at finding every single one of them and pulling them out in front of me and reminding me of what they are. That's why he's called the accuser. And if you listen to his voice, if you listen to his voice, you will not expect God to give the Holy Spirit to you. And you'll end up like the people that James wrote about, saying, "You have not because you ask not." But James doesn't only know what we shouldn't do, but he knows what we should do. He says this further on in James 4, verse 7. He says, "Submit to God and resist the devil." We are to submit to God's authority, to submit to God's desire for our lives as is written in His Word, not to the schemes of the enemy. And here is God's desire for you. In Luke 11, 13, it says, "If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" You see, your heavenly Father desires to give you the Holy Spirit. It is His heart's desire to give the Holy Spirit to you. And that scripture tells us all we need to do is ask. You don't need to get yourself all sorted out. You don't need to get that college degree, although I'd encourage you to go to Bible college. It's awesome. You don't need to spend 6 days studying the Word, although, you know, that'd probably do us all good. You don't need to spend 24 hours in prayer. You just need to ask Him. You just need to come to your Heavenly Father and ask Him open-hearted for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is a gift. It's not a reward. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is given to you not based on your performance or good behavior or great achievement or even great spiritual progress in your walk with God. He is a gift promised to you no matter where you are in your journey with Jesus. You could walk in here today being far from God in your heart, knowing nothing of Jesus, and choose to give your life to Him, and the next moment ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that is God's desire for you. He would pour it out. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, if we seek, we will find. If we ask, we will receive. If we knock, the door will be open to us. We just got to seek. We got to ask. We got to knock. He is desiring to give the Holy Spirit to you. We simply receive the Holy Spirit. All we need to do is ask. Another thing that can stand in the way between us and having that baptism of the Holy Spirit is that we have difficulty asking in faith. I love how Mark talked about that today from the stage, that we need to bring our faith. I think that most of us are like the rest of us, that there are some things that we find difficult to ask for in faith. And many times this is because we don't carry a belief or a conviction that it is God's will for our lives. In 1 John 5:14, he writes, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, in God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. When we're asking for something that we know is in accordance with God's will, then we have great confidence in prayer. And some of us have this issue determining whether or not the Holy Spirit, our God desires to pour the Holy Spirit out upon us. But the Word clearly tells us that that is God's desire. Paul makes it clear that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something for everyone. When he was writing to the believers in Ephesus, he said this. He said, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Paul writes, be filled. And this word, be filled, it has a couple of deeper meanings. One is, it is a passive word, which confirms again that the Holy Spirit is something that we receive. It's a gift. We don't make it happen. We simply come open-hearted with faith to believe for it. And the other part of it is that it's an imperative word. That means it's stated as a command. It is something that is God's will for us to experience. When the people in Jerusalem heard the Holy Spirit being poured out on the day of Pentecost and Peter shared the gospel with them, the people recognized their sin and they asked Peter, what shall we do? And this was Peter's instruction to them. He said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. We can talk ourselves out of receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, or we can choose to lean into the weight of Scripture. I think God chose Luke, a doctor, a man of detail, to write the book of Acts, because he knew that some of us would need convincing. That the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everyone, and that it was something that would be available to every believer, and not just the believers who lived until the apostles all died out. But Peter tells us here that the gift of the Holy Spirit was for those who were right present on that day and their children, and to all those afar off. That's us. We are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And if you are saved today, if you're a believer today, then the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you. And my last issue that I want to touch on today, number three, is that we want to understand. This is another element that can hinder us when we want to understand. You see, this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. It says in Acts 2:1 that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were 120 waiting in that upper room for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, but they did not know what it was going to look like. They didn't know when it was going to come. They didn't know how the Holy Spirit was come. Jesus gave them very little information. He just said, wait, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He didn't say that on the 10th day there would be these little flames of fire and there would be this mighty wind. He gave them nothing. Isn't that so like Jesus? He told you to go do something and doesn't give you any detail, but that's what he did to the disciples. The instruction he gave to them was simply that they had to wait with next to no information or understanding about what was going to take place. And they didn't spend those 10 days in the upper room trying to figure it out, trying to understand, or gathering all the information to win an argument, or assembling all the resources to make it happen. They simply waited in one accord, in one place, out of obedience to Jesus' instruction and in acknowledgement of their need of the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, they were not suddenly filled with information and understanding. They had an encounter. They had an experience. And as much as I've tried to share what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit today, the Holy Spirit is not seeking to be understood. He's seeking to be experienced. He's seeking for you to have an encounter with him today. I found Jesus as a child, and I grew up in a church that was beautiful and wonderful, and I'm so grateful for that season of my life. It taught me to go deep in the Word of God. But they never really believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I remember as a young adult in my early 20s, catching up with my mom, who I hadn't seen for a couple of years. And in that time, she'd become a born-again, Holy Spirit-filled believer. And I just had that moment where I was like, wow, something has changed in your life. There was a freedom on a life that I just looked at and I was like, I want to have whatever it is you're having. I want to have that experience. And as much as I read the Bible, as much as I tried to seek it out, the Holy Spirit baptized me on this day when I just went to my pastors and just asked open-hearted for them to pray for me. I just wanted to be filled. I just wanted to be baptized. And he was so faithful in that moment. He did just what he said. He baptized me with the Holy Spirit, just in my pastor's lounge room on a random Wednesday night. He baptized me with his Holy Spirit. And from that moment, everything changed for me. I love the Word. I love prayer. I love being in the house of God and worshiping. It was like suddenly all of those things came alive. Somebody told me once, it's a bit like Alice through the Looking Glass. If you've ever read, there's this classic kids novel about this girl called Alice. And the books are called Alice in Wonderland. And the second book's called Alice through the Looking Glass. And in that book, Alice is standing in a room. She's looking through the mirror into this other dimension. It's such a random book. But take this. She's standing in a room. There's chairs and tables. There's items. There's a fireplace. Everything has form and structure. It's real. When she looks through that looking glass on the other side, it's the same room, but everything's alive. Everything has personality and power. That's what life is like with the Holy Spirit. It's stepping through the looking glass. It's embracing the freedom and the power of the God who created you, the God who called you into relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit did for my life, and that's what I believe he'll do for you. You see, I've come to know him as a friend. I've come to know the Holy Spirit and understand him more and more because I've come to know him through experience. I love what the Word says about him, but it's been my experiences with him that have helped me to come to understand who he is for me. And you know, today I started my message with this story about but wait, there's more. And that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was Jesus, but wait, there's more moment. But the truth is, there is no more waiting. Jesus told the disciples to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem because it had not yet been given. There's no more waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit any more than there is waiting for salvation in Jesus Christ. It's been done. It's been given. It's been poured out. You don't need to wait anymore. There's no boxes you have to tick. There's no thing you have to fulfill. You just simply can come to Him and ask. And He will pour His Spirit out on you. All you need to do is ask. All you need to do is ask.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.